Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
The impacts of the recent floods across vast stretches of the country will be felt for a long time after the water subsides. For farmers, this can range from dealing with the heartbreak and financial burden of stock and crop losses, right through to the massive repairs to make properties functional again. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and the term we usually hear to describe it all is recovery. And it's hard work, both physically and emotionally. And for each individual, the process is different. Someone who understands this only too well is psychologist Lauren Stracey. She and her team from Rural Aid have been supporting the flood recovery, and she joins us for this Campfire podcast. Lauren, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Before we delve into recovery and the work that's involved around that and why it's important, I want to know a little bit more about Rural Aid. What's the work that you do?
Yeah, so Rural Aid is an organisation that really wants to support farmers and farming families to be well and thrive. And so we do this from a range of different ways, from community development projects to supporting people in recovery post-disaster, to also looking at how do we support people before natural disasters hit. And part of that work is working with mental health. So I head up the mental health and wellbeing team, and we support farmers and farming families with free confidential counselling, usually over a cup of tea on property, and also delivering programs to schools and communities as well.
You said you try and support before there's a disaster. Is that about building resilience?
Yeah, that's right. So what we want to do is support people to have the resources and the skills and tools to support them through whatever life challenges happen. So that might be your kind of day-to-day challenges of having a family, or, you know, having disagreements with loved ones, or parenting, a whole range of sort of normal things that happen for people. And then those sort of skills are really transferable in terms of if we do have something like the floods that we've been recently experiencing, if you have skills and tools to be able to support yourself pre-disaster, you're able to tap into them really easily, or a little bit more easily when those challenges come along.
Well, of those challenges, unfortunately, the end of last year saw significant ones in terms of flooding across large areas in eastern Australia. How would you define recovery after an event like flooding?
It's a good question. I think one of the things that we know about recovery is that it's quite a time taking experience. So, you know, people, they do experience it quite individually. Some people get rocked quite early on. Some people, you know, are able to manage for a period of time. But what we know generally is that it's a long game. It's not a short game. And so when we're thinking about recovery, it's really something that's happening to us in all facets of our life, you know, in terms of our mental health, in terms of our physical self, in terms of our family relationships and our community relationships as well. Because when we have something like a natural disaster hit, it really kind of throws into question our ideas around safety and stability. And so when that gets thrown up in the air, it often takes a little bit of time for us to be able to settle and ground and regroup and start to build back some of the stuff that has been swept away.
It's a really interesting perspective, isn't it? I mean, one person's time to deal with something and get over it is entirely different to another's, isn't it, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what we sort of see is the literature says that there are some typical trajectories that people go through in terms of recovery, but what that looks on an individual level can be really different. And so I think the thing to be keeping in mind as we're kind of moving into this recovery phase for most areas that have been flooded, but for some areas, especially in South Australia, they're really kind of in the thick of it, and WA as well, is that, you know, your recovery might look different to your loved ones, and that's actually completely normal. And so we might need different supports at different times throughout that process.
You alluded to it earlier in terms of, you know, straight after the flood or during the event, you know, farmers are dealing with a lot that's going on. It can be an extremely high workload as they clean up and move into recovery phase. Mm. What would be your main tips on managing that workload when they're probably feeling overwhelmed and possibly stressed?
It's really quite intense because there's just so many tasks to kind of get on with. And I think one of the things that people can often feel that they've reported to us that they've felt is a real sense of overwhelm by the volume of tasks. And so one of the things we talk about is trying to kind of be mentally playing the long game. So you've got however many tasks that you need to get through the day, being able to break that down into manageable pieces. And part of that is actually investing in your relationships and investing in play. Now, that must sound, I think, for many people, particularly farmers, kind of a bit of a wild thing to be saying. But what we've seen and what the literature demonstrates as well is that if you go too hard too early, there will come a time when you crash and burn, because the intensity of being in that kind of fight flight phase and being able to sustain that over a long period of time is limited. And so if you can actually sort of almost dip in and out, so you might work really hard, knock off a couple of the jobs, but then also build in some time for connecting to kids, connecting to your partner, connecting to something that is meaningful and, you know, a little bit nourishing for you, you're going to be able to get through to that longer term recovery. Whereas if you go too hard too early, the reality of hitting a point where you're just so fatigued is much more likely.
That word connection is really, really important. And as part of that is communication. And during busy periods, that can sometimes be the first casualty. How do you make sure that you're maintaining that communication and investing in those connections, I guess?
Yeah, it's really tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, I think about myself and when I'm in a stressful situation and my communication probably can take a bit of a dip, which is, you know, it's really natural. And I think one of the things to do is to practice like a bit of compassion for yourself and practice a bit of compassion for the people around you, because when you are in that really fight flight kind of headspace, you can, especially with the stress of everything that's going on, be a little bit more snappy or a little bit shorter than you might have been. And so if we're able to take moments through the day where we kind of take a step back and take a breath, settle ourselves, and then try that conversation again, and just being quite generous with each other, the aim, I think, and or the hope is that you're able to kind of, even if you're having those little bumps in your relationship as you go through recovery, that you actually have a bit of opportunity to connect back and to actually go, you know what, we're in this together, we're doing the best that we can, and this is just hard. So what do we need to do to be able to support myself? What do I need to be able to support you so that we can get through this with our relationships intact? Because at the end of the day, that's everything really, isn't it? You know, you can get your fences up and whatever, but if your relationships and your family have completely fallen apart in the restoring of all of that stuff, it doesn't really matter. So I think, you know, the more that we can be thinking about how do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of our loved ones through this recovery process? That's going to be much more meaningful, you know, 5-10 years down the track.
Lauren, is this also about structure to some extent? I mean, many primary producers, they've got people working with them on farm. Is it about making sure that you've got structure around that communication in terms of meetings, catch-ups each day?
I think so. Like, one of the things that we know is that structure and clarity create safety. And, you know, when you've had something like a natural disaster like the floods, it's left people feeling unsafe or a bit vulnerable to what's happened. And so being able to put some structure around your day, so starting off the day in a similar way, maybe like a check-in or, you know, gathering together and then finishing up the day as well, provides a little bit of containment. And when we feel contained, we feel safe. So I think those kind of ideas around structure can be really supportive in helping people kind of mentally arrive and mentally finish as well.
So in terms of that, there's a bit for farmers to weigh up, isn't there? I'm trying to maintain relationships, I'm trying to maintain communication, but at the centre of it, I've got to be safe, surely, and manage fatigue.
Absolutely. And I think those things aren't mutually exclusive, they're actually all related. It's about creating a culture of safety with your staff and your family where it's okay to speak up if you're not okay, that it's okay to sort of say, I'm actually going to knock off now and go and take some time for myself and role modeling that. It's about really kind of checking in with yourself about where you're at, because if you are at the point of absolute fatigue, you're not going to be making good decisions. You're not going to be able to work safely. And really what we want to do is support people to have a good recovery in a way that is sustainable, that is going to be setting themselves up for the future. I know I spoke to one farmer after the Northern Rivers flood, and she talked a lot about this, that she'd gone really hard, really early, and then was just flattened, you know, couldn't get out of bed, kind of absolutely flattened. For her, what she really needed was some time to kind of build herself back up and figure out what her next steps were so that she could consciously make choices for her farm that were about setting herself up for the best possible future. And so being able to kind of, you know, really think about what is the big picture here, and then how do I break it into small manageable goals that are thinking about the farm, myself, my team, in ways that are supporting structure and clarity and safety, not just for today, but the long term as well, is really important.
It's really, really important, but it's really, really hard too when you're trying to get fences back up and stock organised. And then I guess the self-medication process kicks in for some as well, and that could double down really in terms of the problems.
Yeah, I think that the risk there is really high, because it's absolutely natural for people to turn to things that are familiar to cope when things are really hard to cope with. And so it makes sense that people would want to kind of lean particularly around alcohol in these sort of instances. But again, I think what it comes back to is that idea of trying to be really kind to yourself and thinking about what's the long game here. And I think, you know, leaning into things like particularly alcohol use, the long-term impact of that is really significant, that it's going to be actually holding you back in terms of your recovery significantly, because, you know, your mind fog, your relationships, your safety, all of those things get significantly impacted if you're kind of really using alcohol as a way of coping with what's happened. So trying to think of ways that you can support yourself through challenge that are more nourishing. So whether it's like, you know, taking half an hour just to sit and have a chat to a friend, to go and spend some time down the river, whatever it is that you find actually kind of soothes and brings you back down that isn't linked to alcohol use, is really important as part of a bigger picture as to how you're going to sustain the recovery.
I imagine strong workplace relationships and support from those around you is also really crucial for dealing with that stress, and having that in place before all the time, so that when a disaster occurs, you're in a good spot to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what the literature says is that the communities and workplaces that are strongest in terms of their relationship before a disaster hits are the ones that weather it best. And so I would suggest that any opportunity to invest in relationships and to invest in a strong workplace culture is going to have benefits in the long term. So thinking about how you might want to do that and what's meaningful for you and your team and the people that you are working with, whether that's on a Friday arvo having a bit of a barbie, or, you know, whatever it is that kind of feels right for you, is absolutely worthwhile the time, because the stronger the relationships, the better you're going to get in terms of your outcomes.
Lauren, what about if you're listening to this and you're in a workplace and you can see one of your colleagues seems to be showing signs of isolation and stress? How can somebody go about helping them? Because, you know, not everyone's got your counselling skills, obviously.
Yeah, look, I think often people think that counsellors are some sort of magicians, and we're just not. But the thing that I often suggest to people is if they're concerned about somebody, generally the person wants to talk about it. And so where I think the easiest place to start is starting with what you're observing. So if you have noticed the person doing something different to what they would normally do, going for a walk with them, because often walking side to side is a little bit less intense than sort of, you know, sitting them down, staring them in the eyes and saying, hey, like, I've noticed this. I've noticed you, you know, withdrawing a bit, or you haven't been as chatty in breaks, or I haven't seen you show up on a Saturday, and I'm just wanting to check, are you okay? And my experience is that generally people are quite relieved that somebody has noticed, And that in fact, you know, I know that when I've had this conversation with a mate of mine to check in whether he was okay, his response was, you know what, I'm actually not. And he hadn't realised it himself, but it was through me kind of noticing some changes in his behaviour that he was able to reflect on that himself. And so starting with that as that first point of conversation of, I've seen this difference and I'm wondering if you're okay. If they're fine, they'll let you know. And if they're not, you've actually shown up for them in that conversation and you've told them by being open with them that you're actually ready to listen. So that would be the first step I would suggest. And then the second part is, if they're not okay, is actually kind of listening to them and supporting them to figure out what might be something that would be helpful for them to be able to manage whatever's going on. So if it is that they're a bit stressed and overwhelmed, is there some sort of supports that you know about that you could help them out with? Is it about actually connecting them up with one of our Rural Aid counsellors? So at Rural Aid, we have support with professionally trained counsellors. The team is just amazing there. They live and breathe rural Australia. They all live in community. And they're able to actually come out and just have a chat with you and see what sort of supports might be most beneficial for you. So they can do that on the phone. So you can kind of be walking around your property and having a bit of a chat with them there, or they can come out and meet with you on farm. So that's a really great support, because what we've found at Rural Aid is that being able to have professional counselling in a way that is meaningful for farmers in terms of, you know, understanding the rural landscape, understanding farming, and being able to actually go out to farmers themselves, it just provides a level of service that is a little bit different to mainstream, which is really helpful often. And I think the media has often portrayed counselling as, you know, you sit down and you kind of dredging up the past and all of that sort of stuff. And that can be true. Like, sometimes that is counselling, but often it's about actually just having a couple of sessions and figuring out a couple of tools and off you go again, and then dipping in and out in that way. So counselling can be really about what's going to be working for you and really targeted to what your needs are. And it can be really kind of action oriented and about learning a couple of strategies and then cracking on again. So there's a whole lot of different supports out there. And if you or your friends aren't travelling that well, I would suggest have a go and see if it's right for you. And if not, oh, well, you haven't lost anything, you know what I mean? So that's kind of the ones that I would suggest. And that I think the other thing is that once you've had that initial conversation with your mate that you might be worried about, is then following up with them and checking in how they're travelling. Because being able to have some accountability can support the person to take some action around what's not working for them.
Lauren, that's a great insight to finish on. Psychologist Lauren Stracey from Rural Aid, thanks for joining us for this Campfire podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.